Subject today, anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism. Deuteronomy 28:37. These are the words of God speaking to Israel, His people. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. In 1912, when my father was 5 years old, a Jewish peddler came to the Justice Farm in South Central Oklahoma with a pack on his back. My grandfather invited this man in, and the man opened his pack and showed his needles and threads and knives and small kitchen and farm utensils that he had for sale. Grandma bought a number of things, and when the peddler left, Grandpa Justice told my dad that that peddler was a sheenie. Many years later, when he had begun to study the scriptures, did he learn the origin of that word sheenie. He learned that it came from the Hebrew word shenina, which means literally a byword. This was a common nickname for the wandering Jew. The word actually occurs in our text in Deuteronomy 28:37, where God says to the Jews, "And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword," shenina, sheeny, "among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee." One of the sad facts of history is that the Jews have been an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, hated by them, just as God said they would in Deuteronomy 28:37, 3,400 years ago. Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary defines anti-Semitism as opposition to, hatred of, or agitation against Jews. The Random House Dictionary defines an anti-Semite as a person who is hostile to Jews. Anti-Semitic means anti-Jewish, or having an attitude of hatred toward Jews. Anti-Semitism is persecution of Jews. Anti-Semitics accuse Israel and the Jews of being the cause of every major problem in this world, whether these problems be economic or political or religious in nature. Every political and religious demagogue who has ever arisen in history has found the Jew an easy prey and a convenient whipping boy. Anti-Semitism, my friends, is a madness as well as wickedness. In this message today, we're going to consider this terrible and wicked phenomenon of anti-Semitism. First, we're going to look at the history of anti-Semitism. Hatred and persecution of the Jews has continued throughout the 2,500 years of the diaspora. For most of these 25 centuries, the Jews have been without friends among the nations. No nation has suffered as much as they. They have been imprisoned, robbed, burned alive, gassed, starved, enslaved, ravished, hunted like wild beasts, and slaughtered without mercy. When quote-unquote Christianity became the state religion of the Roman Empire in 325 A.D., all Roman subjects were compelled to become Christians. And at that time, of course, the Jews became outcasts. At this time, what we call Byzantine Christianity began to try to stamp out the Jews by calling them Christ killers. A byword that has stuck to them to this day, especially among Roman Catholics. Roman Catholicism has accused the Jews of what they call deicide, or the murder of God, for crucifying Jesus Christ. They also have called them Christ killers. The Catholics use these terms to try to justify their terrible persecution of the Jews through the centuries. In 722 A.D., Roman Catholic Pope Leo III issued an edict that all Jews must become Christians, meaning they must become Catholics. Jews could not intermarry. They could not hold public office. They would be exiled if they did not submit to baptism at the hands of the Catholic Church. During the 1300s, the Black Plague swept over Europe, killing millions. Some estimate as high as 1/4 of the entire population of Europe dying as a result. And the Catholic governments of Europe blamed the Black Death on the Jews, saying that they poisoned the wells in Europe. Beginning in medieval Europe, Jews have many times been required clear up until modern times to live in ghettos. You know, we hear about ghettos today. There's no such thing as a ghetto in America. That's a propagandistic word. A ghetto, let me tell you what a ghetto is. A ghetto is where the Jews lived. A ghetto was a walled-off area of a city to which all Jews had to return at night when the sun went down. For 1,500 years, Jews in Europe could neither own land nor join the trade guilds. Thus, they could not take up vocations normally used to earn a living, earn a livelihood. In 1020 A.D., the ruler of England was a man named Canute. He banished all Jews from England. In 1096, an attempt was made in England to murder all Jews who would not submit to Catholic baptism. In 1227, Edward I drove the Jews out of England again, and there's no evidence that even one Jew walked on British soil for 400 years after that. The Roman Catholic Crusades were anti-Semitic in nature. Jewish property across Europe was confiscated to help finance these wars of aggression on the Holy Land. When the Crusaders reached the Holy Land, they slaughtered the Jews and the Muslims alike, and they did so in the name of the Catholic Church. The Catholics in Spain sponsored the Inquisition, something that's been virtually expunged from our history books today. They sponsored the Inquisition, in which they gave the Jews in Spain the choice of the church or the sword. They said, you will submit to Catholic baptism or we're going to cut your head off. As a part of this Inquisition, the Catholic Church sent thousands of Jews to the Iron Maiden. The Iron Maiden was a large hollow statue made out of iron that at the touch of a spring it flew open and revealed its inner surface studded with nails rusted with the blood of countless victims. And the moment the condemned person stood inside, that figure began to close, hugging in its grasp the victims until the nails pierced his body and he screamed with pain until the nails passed through some vital organ. And when the Iron Maiden opened again, the victim's lifeless body fell out into the ghastly pit below. In 1492, this is a shocking fact that I learned in studying the history of Israel some time ago. In 1492, Ferdinand and Isabella of Spain confiscated Jewish wealth, and they expelled all Jews from Spain, and many believe they used the proceeds to finance Columbus's voyage to America. Adolf Hitler began his rise to power by blaming the Jews for the terrible economic conditions in post-World War I Germany. During the 1930s and the early 1940s, Hitler and his Third Reich marched across Europe, devouring nation after nation. His dream was to rule the world, annihilate the Jewish people, and establish a millennial reign upon the earth. And in the process, 6 million Jews were exterminated by Germany. In Russia, under the Tsars, pogroms were held against the Jews. A pogrom is an organized massacre of helpless people. These pogroms began in Russia in 1881. A special document was used to stir up these pogroms. Not only in Russia, but elsewhere in Europe in the 19th and early 20th centuries. It is a propaganda piece concocted by Jew haters and called the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. This phony document claimed that the Jews, in league with the Freemasons, had worked out a plot with which they would overthrow Christian civilization and replace it with a world state ruled by the Jews and the Freemasons. The Protocols was first used in Russia to prove to the Tsar that the rising tide of capitalism in Russia was really a Jewish conspiracy to overthrow him and the old order. The most bitter anti-Semitism since World War II has been in communist Russia. But now that Russian communism has fallen, Russia has begun to allow the Jews to leave for Israel, and thousands upon thousands of them have already gone. Now a new tide of hate for Jews is rising in the resurgence of Islam in the world today. In 1967, the Arabic version of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion was first published by the brother of Egyptian President Gamal Abdel Nasser. They translated it into Arabic so that that poison could be spread in the Middle East. A generation of Jew hate in Palestinian schools has helped produce the suicide or homicide bombers that are now the scourge of Israel. These texts, these school texts, teach such disgusting and hateful things as that the Jews leaven their pastry with the blood of non-Jewish teenagers today. Yasser Arafat's Palestinian organization is called Fatah. The constitution of Fatah calls in part for, quote, Article 12, complete liberation of Palestine and eradication of Zionistic culture, economic, political, military, and cultural existence. Article 17, armed public revolution is the inevitable method of liberating Palestine. Article 22, opposing political solution offered as an alternative to demolishing the Zionist occupation of Palestine, unquote. In other words, the very reason for the existence of Fatah is the extermination of the Jews. Not gaining a Palestinian state to live side by side with Israel, but to exterminate Israel. The world today blames Israel for the problems of the Middle East, as well as the rest of the world. Rather, if you turn on CNN, all you'll hear is the Palestinian point of view. And Israel can do no right. And all the other networks are the same way. A few years ago, a book called None Dare Call It Conspiracy appeared. And the author, Gary Allen, in this book blamed the Jewish Rothschild family in Europe for an international plot by Jews to dominate the world. And we, every once in a while, I hear somebody bring that up again. They believe that. Just this week, on April 22nd, I read an article in the Washington Times newspaper, the title of which was, Synagogues Burn as Europeans Rage. Now, here are a couple of paragraphs from this article describing the serious outbreak of anti-Semitism that's going on in Europe today. Quote, a wave of anti-Jewish attacks ranging from hate mail and graffiti to stonings, shotgun blasts, gasoline bombs, and synagogue bombings has swept Europe from Britain to Ukraine as the conflict between Israelis and Palestinians worsens in the Middle East. In recent days, one synagogue in Marseille, France, has been doused in gasoline and burned to the ground. Another in Lyon, France, was damaged in a car attack. A third in Brussels was firebombed. And a fourth in Kiev was attacked by 50 youths chanting, kill the Jews, who then beat up a rabbi. An unidentified assailant hurled a stone through the window of another synagogue in southern Ukraine yesterday. End of quote. down through all history runs this bloody stream of anti-Semitism. Why? Why does anti-Semitism exist? Why has Israel suffered so much during the diaspora? What can possibly explain this age-long phenomenon of anti-Semitism? Why does anti-Semitism pervade the human experience like a cancer that no one can remove? Why does God allow His people to suffer such outrage and sorrow and poverty and abuse? Well, such hate must have much deeper roots than just a passing disagreement or even cultural differences. God's Word gives two basic reasons for the ongoing existence of anti-Semitism. First of all, God's Word teaches that anti-Semitism is a matter of God's judgment on Israel's sins. The 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, from which our text is taken, reveals this part of the answer. I hope you'll read that entire chapter. I had most of the verses there written down to read, but it just takes too long. I hope you'll read most of that chapter because it deals with this matter. Look at Deuteronomy 28:15. We'll just look at a few verses here. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 15. This 28th chapter tells us that the world's treatment of the Jews is because Israel forsook God and fell into terrible sin. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. This whole chapter is full of curses. We'll read some of them in a moment. But he says, if you don't follow God and obey His commandments, all of these curses are going to come upon you and overtake you. Now look at verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep His commandments and His statutes which He commanded thee. Now look at verses 63 through 67. And it came to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even, and at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. When Israel lived in her land and worshiped the idols of the Canaanites and practiced their filthy sexual sins, they turned away from God. Anti-Semitism is God's punishment on Israel for her great sins. Our text in Deuteronomy 28:37 is a prophecy of the hatred the nations would have for the Jews should the Jews forsake the Lord their God. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. God warned Solomon that anti-Semitism would come should Israel forsake His commandments. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 9. And verse 7, this is many years, perhaps 1,000 years after Deuteronomy 28 was written. God warns Solomon here in 1 Kings 9:7. Then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. All of this has happened because Israel turned away from serving the Lord her God. Now turn to Psalms 44, verses 13 and 14. Psalms 44, verses 13 and 14. The psalmist recognized here that God had carried out his threat in Deuteronomy 28, 37, and that the world's hatred of Israel was God's judgment on Israel for her sins. Psalm 44, 13. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. Why have the Jews suffered so much during their diaspora? In a word, it is because of their sin. But it is more than that, even. Secondly, anti-Semitism in this world is a matter of God's judgment on Israel for her rejection of her Messiah. Anti-Semitism will be the lot of the Jews as a race because they turned away from their God and His Word and from Jesus Christ, their own Messiah. Israel did not recognize Jesus Christ as her Messiah and even considered Him a threat to their establishment, and so they executed Him. Israel condemned her own Messiah to death. They turned Him over to the Romans to be crucified. They preferred Barabbas, a murderer, to the Holy One of Israel, and they consented to His murder. Turn to Matthew 27 and verse 25. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 25. The saddest words that the Jews ever uttered were those here in Matthew 27, 25. Here at the trial of Jesus Christ, when Pontius Pilate had just said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. What a terrible, unspeakable, incomprehensible price the Jews have had to pay for these words. Anti-Semitism is a fulfillment of their request. The rejection of Jesus Christ as Israel's Messiah was the culmination of a whole history of Israel's sin. All the other sins of the Jews never compared to their sin of rejecting Jesus Christ, their own Messiah. This national rejection of Messiah is a sin so grievous it cannot be comprehended, and Israel is being punished today for that sin. Listen, my friend, if you have rejected Jesus Christ, the Messiah, your sin is also an incomprehensible sin. And you will be punished forever in the flames of hell for that sin. In all of this anti-Semitism, the Jews have been the recipients of God's judgment down through history. It is God who has permitted them to suffer, and it is God also, my friends, who has preserved them through all that suffering. What does God think of anti-Semitism? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. Genesis 12 and verse 3. Here God tells us plainly what He thinks of anti-Semitism. Genesis 12, 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. Now, thee here in this verse refers to Israel as the descendants of Abraham. As we saw in an earlier message, this 12th chapter of Genesis is an unconditional promise in an unconditional covenant. And God has never abrogated or canceled this statement. My friends, this statement is just as applicable today as it ever was. Them that bless thee, I will bless. And him, and curse him that curseth thee. In this verse, God threatens all who would participate in anti-Semitism. Israel is the apple of God's eye. And Zechariah 2:8 says that whoever therefore touches Israel touches God. For he that toucheth Israel toucheth the apple of his eye. Zechariah 2:8. The enemies of the Jews, therefore, are the enemies of God. I want to read several other verses of Scripture that state this same fact, that those who curse the Jews, God will curse. Turn to Deuteronomy 30 and verse 7. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 7. What does God think of anti-Semitism? And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee which persecute thee. In Micah 5:9, God says to Israel, all thine enemies shall be cut off. Turn to Jeremiah 30 and verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 16. God says to Israel here, Jeremiah 30:16, therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. Then in verse 20 in that same chapter, I will punish all that oppress them. My friends, God has cursed anti-Semitic nations. God has laid his hand on the nations that have persecuted the Jews. Not a single nation that has ever persecuted the Jews has escaped the judgment of God. No nation that has touched them has not suffered disaster and shame. As part of the persecution of the Jews, King Philip of Spain sent thousands of Jews to sea in leaky ships to be drowned. In later years, Spain had to sell the very islands named for King Philip's, the Philippines, in order just to stay afloat financially, and it failed. And today, as a world power, and even as a significant nation, Spain is gone from the world scene. Tsarist Russia, where Jews were shot down in the streets, drawn and quartered and hung up in stalls in butcher shops like so many beeves, has long since passed off the scene in disgrace and was replaced with a far worse ideology, that of communism. Tsar Nicholas hated the Jews. He ruthlessly persecuted them, and Tsar Nicholas himself, as well as his family, came to an ignominious end. They found his body and the bodies of his family in recent years buried in a barn where they'd been executed. Hitler's Third Reich is now a bitter memory that all men equate with evil and disgust. Listen, there is no more dangerous fire to play with than anti-Semitism. It's very important to keep in mind here. I believe every time we talk about this, we need to remind ourselves of this fact. God has not authorized Christians to take vengeance on the Jews for crucifying Christ. You will not find in the Word of God that He orders the church to kill Jews or to punish Jews for crucifying His Son. In His sovereign providence, God has permitted anti-Semitism to be His rod of chastisement on His ancient people. But His Word has strong warnings for those who participate in this great evil. If it is God's will that the Jews should suffer because of their great sins, it has never been the business of Christians to join in the world's mistreatment of them. My friends, if you ever feel religious about persecuting the Jews, you don't have the religion of Jesus Christ. Listen, Christian, never join in any persecution of Jews. Instead, love the Jews and take the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. That's our mission as Christians in relation to the Jews. You know, it's interesting. I brought this subject up among preachers over the past 2 or 3 weeks in various groups. And even among preachers, this anti-Semitism comes out. They're not so sure they don't want to blame all the world's troubles on the Jews. It's also important to note here that I want to say this on the other hand. All criticism of Jews and of Israel is not to be considered anti-Semitism. I mean, they're not above criticism. We're not above criticism. God's threat of a curse on those who curse Israel does not mean that we Christians can never criticize Israel for anything whatsoever. Now, there are some serious things about Israel today that deserve our criticism and our concern. For example, there are the anti-missionary bills that continually come up in the Knesset or the Israeli parliament. These bills would make it illegal to print or distribute materials intended to persuade individuals to change their religions. In other words, it's an anti-Christian bill. They want to make it against the law to try to witness to somebody for Christ on the streets in Israel. Well, they told us not to do that when we went over there. Knowing that we ought to obey God rather than men, we got a whole stack of tracts pointed right to Jews about Christ, and we left them everywhere we could go. But these anti-missionary bills would make it illegal to print and distribute materials intended to persuade individuals to change their religion. And these bills even call for the confiscation of literature that's seen as offensive to the Orthodox Jewish community. Now, brother, that's a surrender of all freedom, isn't it? That's worthy of criticism. Another area, the so-called Anti-Defamation League claims to fight anti-Semitism. But I've noted, and as you have, if you've paid much attention to it, at the same time, this Anti-Defamation League seems to specialize in the defamation of Christians. And they are friendly with the anti-Christian American Civil Liberties Union. There's another area. When Jews persecute Jews who become Christians, this is worthy of our criticism. My father had a classmate at Southwestern Seminary, a Jewish brother. His name was Hyman Appleman. When Hyman became a Christian, his father had a funeral and buried a casket with Hyman's name on it, and he never spoke to that son again. He did that when that son was 16 years old. So not all conflicts between Jews and non-Jews are caused by anti-Semitism. We're not saying that they're beyond criticism. Every true child of God should stand up against anti-Semitism. I don't mean we ought to get out in the street and demonstrate. I don't believe we ought to do that on any issue. But whenever the opportunity comes, we ought to stand up against anti-Semitism. We must do all that we can to sympathize with and to help the Jews in their distress in this world, remembering what God has said in Genesis 12:3, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. I was deeply appreciative of the hymns this morning. Did you notice every one of them talked about how we are to help others? Certainly the application can be made to Israel. The best thing that we can do to show friendship to the Jews is to tell them the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, whom they rejected. How can Christians who are anti-Semitic hope to witness to the Jews and bring them to faith in Jesus Christ? I don't understand that. How can they hope to witness to them? Anti-Semitism is a madness in this world. I don't understand it. I've observed some of these people. Brother, they just froth at the mouth. It's irrational. It's a madness. It is a great evil that must be renounced, and it is an irrational thing, especially when participated in by Christians. Listen, how can a man believe the book and hate the people of the book? How can any person who claims to love Jesus Christ hate and persecute Christ's kinsman according to the flesh. After all, Jesus Christ was a Jew. There's an old proverb that calls for Christians to think seriously about this matter. It goes like this: how odd of God to choose the Jew, but not so odd as those who choose the Jewish God and hate the Jew. That's odd, isn't it? Choosing the Jewish God and hating the Jew. I hope you'll read that verse that's in the bulletin today about Christ, our Savior, was a Jew. When will all this anti-Semitism end? The end of anti-Semitism will not come until the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ when He returns in person. God's Word tells us that one day the Jews will be brought to the feet of Him whose name today they are not even able to peaceably pronounce. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, the Jews will see His wounds and will mourn in repentance, and the whole nation shall be saved, says Romans 11:26. The individual Jew, however, can have peace right now if he will seek Jesus Christ as his Messiah. Jews can have forgiveness of sin. They can have eternal life. They can have peace in every storm of life if they will trust in Jesus Christ today. And you too, my Gentile friend, can have the same by trusting in Jesus Christ today. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful today for Your holy Word. Our Father, we are just flabbergasted as we see some of the things that happen in the world around us until we understand by reading in Your holy Word the why and the wherefore of these things. And Father, today we pray that You would give us as Christians the right attitude toward the Jews. May we not hate them. May we not persecute them. May we sympathize with them in their great distress. And most of all, may we love them enough to tell them about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray today, our Father, thanking You that You have written down in Your book how it's all going to turn out. Help us to look forward to that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ that day, just at the moment when the Antichrist is about to overcome Israel. The Lord Jesus will come out of the clouds riding on a white horse and all the saints with Him. And Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. Father, we just pray that You'd help us to rejoice in the truth of Thy Word. Help us to understand it and to apply it each day in our lives. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Let us